Up next, we're bringing you the words of President Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela. He spoke on Wednesday at the UN General Assembly's general debate, and he ascended to the podium to rather wide applause from the assembled heads of state.
Señores embajadores,
distinguished ambassadors, heads of delegations of the countries, members of the United Nations, Madam President of the General Assembly, Maria Fernanda Espinosa, may I extend to you the congratulations of the government and people of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela on your election to the presidency of this 73rd session of the General Assembly, the first Latin American woman to be president of a General Assembly session. We are meeting here at this 73rd session to do our work on a very important issue, and it has been worded as making the United Nations relevant to all people, global leadership and shared responsibility for peaceful, equitable, and sustainable societies. So we are here to make the United Nations relevant to all people. This is indeed a lofty goal. The United Nations in the 21st century is continuing its work in this area. This is a century of great opportunities, and we feel sure that the 21st century will lead to political developments and the leadership of the peoples, which sooner rather than later will have a real impact on the future of the United Nations. The United Nations was born in the heat of the end of the Second World War in 1945. And throughout the 20th century, it was to prevent conflict and developed post-war development. But the world was a bipolar one at that time. After the fall of the Soviet Union, we moved into a unipolar world, and the correlation of forces and the way the world looked had a real impact on the United Nations itself. For the United Nations to be relevant, and that is the theme of this session of the General Assembly, we have to look at the political thinking, and we have to look at the hopes and aspirations of the majority of peoples throughout the world. Venezuela is here to say the truth. I come here on behalf of a heroic revolutionary people. I come from a land which will never bow, will never come to its knees. We have never given in to injustice. there were colonialists, enslavement, and then there were neo-colonialists and more enslavement. But I come here today on behalf of a historic people who rose up in heroic resistance. And we also rose up in support of indigenous peoples who, throughout long periods in past centuries of colonialism, had suffered. I come here on behalf of the people who are so proud to live in the land where the great Libertador was born 200 years ago. Simón Bolívar led the heroic resistance of our people to free a continent and to bring to life a dream of an independent republic in our part of the world. We are a people of history. We defend and teach republican values. We have also supported rebellion when necessary. And we have also taught dignity and respect for values such as equality. And we have defended our land as it sought independence and defended its sovereignty over centuries. So I speak on their behalf. And there has been very shameful actions against our country. Our country has been accused. It has suffered aggression. It has been attacked. Yesterday, here, the President of the United States of North America once again spoke against the noble people of Venezuela and he invoked a doctrine which imposed the rule of the United States 200 years ago and he said that intervention was possible and he could be judge and party and also policeman of the world. Now, the Monroe Doctrine was pursued by the United States of North America and they preached the doctrine of James Monroe at the time they said, all of America for the Americans. The rest of the Americas had to belong to America because in Washington they looked at their nation as their own, even although it had been a former colony of the United Kingdom. So that doctrine, the Monroe Doctrine, was invoked. And this was pursued by the United States, and the tone of that doctrine ran throughout the entire speech by the president yesterday. But our people are familiar with this. It was an imperial interventionist neo-colonialist doctrine. And our people rose up against it because we wanted freedom, we wanted equality, and our leader, Simón Bolívar, fought for that. It's an imperialist doctrine that wants to take over our whole region, not just our own region. In the 20th century, it sought to dominate the entire world. in the 21st century, it wants to continue with this. It wants to continue just giving orders to the world as though the world were its own property. There are conflicts and disputes which have existed for a long time between different countries. But we had asked for a world of dignity and respect. And Simón Bolívar and the acted against the interventionist policy which was being pursued by Washington at the time. It's a historic conflict, and that's the history of the conflict with which we are all extremely familiar. Economic, political, diplomatic, the media, all of these areas. In all of these areas, the Monroe Doctrine can be felt. It's ideological, political, ideological, and it is all directed against our land, our homeland, our very raison d'etre. Why political, economic, diplomatic aggression, attacks on Venezuela? Because we wanted to defend our autonomy, we wanted our democratic revolution, our social democracy, we wanted to have our own new model of what society we wanted. We wanted to defend the identity of our country, we wanted to preserve our own culture, our own Latin American culture. And we had been developing our revolutionary project for 20 years. And this is the struggle of our people and in our region. Perhaps more understandably, for geopolitical global reasons, Venezuela is the one country in the world that has oil reserves that have been determined to be the largest at the international level. Venezuela founded OPEC. It's been producing oil for 100 years, and it has produced and it has been certified as having the largest oil reserves in the world. It has its natural resources, its natural wealth. And our country according to international standards may also have the largest gold reserves in the world. So in addition to the largest oil reserves, we also could have the largest gold reserves in the world, and this is according to international certification. And we also have the fourth largest gas reserves in the world. These are major natural resources of geopolitical and economic and strategic interest. And this has led to the oligarchs in the continent who dominate from Washington. This has led them to try to control power in Venezuela. The Venezuelan economy has been subjected to a number of unilateral actions over the last few years. Illegal actions. This has been economic persecution of us. We have not been able to use the international currency of the US dollar. And this has been an attempt by the Treasury of the United States to stop us using the dollar. And today we cannot use the dollar in any international transaction. And this has been economic and trade and monetary persecution of Venezuela. And Venezuela has been subjected to economic sanctions as well. And these are illegal unilateral sanctions imposed on us. the US president yesterday from this very rostrum spoke of new sanctions, further sanctions, so-called sanctions, economic and financial sanctions against my country. And he said that here, the sanctuary of international law, here, but he spoke of illegal sanctions, imposing his will, financial persecution of Venezuela. It is illegal from the standpoint of international law. And we are also being attacked constantly in the media. This was an attempt to justify an international interference or intervention, which might have been an attempt at a military intervention in our country. And this was action that was going to be taken against our country, supposedly to prevent a humanitarian crisis. And this was an attempt by the US government and its satellite allies in Latin America to get its hands on our country. And a migration crisis has now been invented, and it, of its own weight, is falling, is collapsing. If you want to look at the real migration crisis in the world, you can look at the situation in Central America, in Mexico, and there has been talk of building a wall against our people, and double standards are being imposed. Because when you talk about Caribbean Latin American migrants who are being prosecuted and persecuted along the border with Mexico, families are being split up and separated and divided. There's a double standard. The migration crisis is indeed a serious issue. And there was the destruction of Libya by NATO, and that led to migration by thousands and thousands, in fact, millions of Africans. And also there have been so many migrants because of the war in Syria. And now their world media is trying to fabricate a migration crisis in Venezuela to justify was perhaps being called a humanitarian intervention, in quotation marks. Look at what happened to Iraq. And they have justified intervention in other countries as well, through a brutal psychological kind of warfare. And we have suffered from this as well. We have also been attacked diplomatically. Dear brothers and sisters of governments and peoples throughout the world, there have been direct threats, cutting off aid, withdrawing aid from the United States, or blocking aid to international support institutions or to help countries that need help. We have listened to statements being made. There are countries asking for better mechanisms to ensure full funding for development. And this is something that our peoples are entitled to from this very rostrum. A threat was issued yesterday to governments of the world that orders should be obeyed and the US policy should be followed, or else those countries would suffer from the consequences. And so there has been a fierce diplomatic attack, offensive, so to speak, against Venezuela in many fora of the United Nations, supported by satellite allies and countries. Venezuela has been subjected to constant attacks. The New York Times in September published an article talking about participation by members of the White House and people in the U.S. administration with people in Venezuela talking about how to bring about a coup in Venezuela, a regime change in Venezuela. This was published by the New York Times. It was taken up by the journal Time. It was taken up by the Washington Post and indeed in the World Press. And this is just further evidence of the ongoing attacks by the U.S. against our country, against our democracy in Venezuela. We have been able to reject attempts to bring about violence and coups and violent protests. We have been able to deal with such attacks against us in the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela. After the failure, which was reported in the New York Times, of attempts to create disturbances and violence and military offensives in our country, as I say, there were reports from U.S. administration persons and government people in Colombia. They offered support and encouragement to this attempted regime change. May I say to my Latin American Caribbean colleagues, may Latin America and the Caribbean, can you accept this kind of approach, these methods, which we suffered from throughout the 20th century? How many military interventions occurred? How many coup d'etats? How many dictatorships were imposed on us in the course of the 20th century in Latin America and the Caribbean? This was against our peoples. It was in the interests of the transnational corporations. We suffered from lengthy dictatorships such as Pinochet in Chile, and this harmed our people. And this was because of the United States' actions and their belief in the Monroe Doctrine, which said that we could not govern ourselves as we saw fit. This was against our political and cultural ways of life in our countries that they would not accept. And this is why I say to you, I have come to tell you the truth on behalf of our heroic people. There is a media campaign against us which seems to go on and on endlessly. And that is why I want to come here and tell you the truth about our country here in the United Nations. After the New York Times published this report about the failure of the attempt to impose a coup on us, this was a criminal attempt. It failed. After the 20 May presidential election, we where I, Nicolas Maduro Moron, received 68% of the people's vote in free elections. This was the 24th election in less than 20 years. The election was on the 20th of May. It was the 24th election we had held. And the revolutionary forces of our country, with different levels of approval, have always won. We won 22 of those 24 elections which were held in our country. So after the failure of the attempt at the military coup, after the failure of the candidatures and the electoral tricks of Washington, on 4 August, a terrorist attack with drones was carried out against me in an attempt to assassinate me in a military manner in a major avenue in Caracas, the capital of our country. And as is well known, there was a massacre and so many political and military leaders in my country were in fact killed. And on that 4th of August, the material actors, the terrorists that had used this drone attack, and it was the first attack with drones, the first drone attack in terrorist terms in the world, those who were responsible were captured by our police. And all of those who were involved, there were 28 persons, they were seized during our investigation of what had happened. And they all confessed to what they had done. And the investigation was a public one, and it was made known to all the governments of the world. Investigations showed that the 4 August attack was prepared and funded from the territory of the United States of North America. This was made known to the U.S. government, and we made known to the U.S. government, the person who was responsible for this, the names of those who were involved in planning this very serious terrorist attack of 4 August. All investigations showed that the attack involved people who had been trained in Colombia with support from Colombian authorities. And the most recent investigations which have been made known to the public show that some diplomats in Chile and Colombia and Mexico had been cited by those who were materially responsible for the attack, and they were supposed to help the persons escape after they had carried out the terrorist attack. We would request that a special rapporteur be appointed here in the United Nations to carry out an independent international investigation on the terrorist attack on my country on 4 August last. Venezuela is very open to this idea. Our justice system wants to make sure that we found out who was directly responsible for this very serious attack. Because of the implications, it was an attempt to create chaos in my country so as to justify an internal conflict and clash a level of violence which would then justify the imposition of mechanisms outside of the multilateral system of the United Nations, namely a military intervention in our country, such as others have suffered from in the past. And so Venezuela formally proposes distinguished ambassadors. We request your support for an independent international investigation, a fact-finding mission to establish the truth of what happened on the 4th of August. And I myself have said to the United States government that it would be good if the US government, which denied being involved in the preparation and carrying out of this attack, that it would be a good idea if the United States government heeded the appeal made that the high-level professionals should be involved in the investigation so as to help the Venezuelan investigators establish the truth. On arriving in New York today, this afternoon, I heard that some journalists had asked if President Trump if he was willing to meet with Maduro, that's what they called me, with Nicolas Maduro, the president of Venezuela. And apparently Donald Trump said in one of his replies today that if this would help Venezuela, he would be willing to have such a meeting. And let me say, from this very rostrum, despite the enormous historic differences, despite the enormous ideological differences, despite the enormous social differences, I am a worker, a driver, a man of the people. I am not a magnate. I am not a multimillionaire. Despite all of the differences, the president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, would be willing, I am willing, to reach out my hand to the president of the United States, Donald Trump, and discuss these matters bilaterally, these matters involving our region. Venezuela has a tradition of being a peaceful nation. Venezuela is a very friendly country, and we have not forgotten the United States. Rather, we appreciate the culture, the art of the United States, and the social life of the United States. We are against the imperialists in charge of power in Washington. Simon Bolivar, our libertador, said in 1826, and he was almost like a prophet, the United States of North America seemed to be destined by fate to be a scourge to us, to bring hunger and misery in the name of freedom. 1826, Simon Bolivar. He was like a prophet. How could he see so early on what was going to happen in the next century, the 20th century? So, as I say, President Donald Trump and I certainly have our differences, but that is what we have to dialogue about. It's only if there are differences in the world, then you have to act with goodwill, and you have to keep your word. You have to discuss these things. Donald Trump said he was worried about Venezuela. He wanted to help Venezuela. Good. I stand ready to talk with an open agenda on everything that he might wish to talk about with the United States government. Openly, sincerely, honestly. As president of the non-aligned movement, we believe in the dialogue of civilizations. We believe in the non-aligned movement. And we constantly encourage international dialogue in order to resolve international disputes by reaching agreements through dialogue, by peaceful means, politically, not by force. Venezuela has a lot of experience in dialoguing. For example, in OPEC, we've had to deal with a lot of different views and been able to reach agreements and consensus. We've had a meeting with Algeria, with the OPEC monitoring group. It was an extraordinary meeting, and my country is part of that monitoring group. And the representatives of 24 states and the major oil consumers and producers. Now, you can just imagine all the enormous cultural, political, and strategic geopolitical differences of views. And yet, we came out of that meeting with one voice, with a consensus as to how to handle the oil market with fair and stable and reasonable prices. So there is a way of getting to solutions. There is a way of settling disputes. The Bolivarian Revolution in Venezuela had a very hard time of it. The founder of our revolution, Chavez, the comandante, who will always be held dear in the hearts of the Venezuelan people, said on behalf of the people that he appreciated the fact that they supported the revolution and it was a peaceful one. He believed in international dialogue, and he confirmed our will for political will at the international level. But there are governments represented here in this chamber who speak of sovereignty, independence, who respect the sovereignty and integrity of Venezuela. And I appreciate anybody that wants to help us from Africa, Asia, Latin America, Europe, that they respect the sovereignty of our country. They do not want to interfere in the internal affairs of Venezuela. And they are supporters of us in sovereign dialogue for peace, justice, for the future, for prosperity of Venezuela. Our noble nation that deserves peace and that wants to preserve its culture. So good news is what I bring you. For a country which has never been brought to its knees, I bring you good news from a nation that has been consolidating its democracy. Good news from a country that is empowering its people. Good news from a country that is building its own social model, its own kind of democracy, to protect the old people, the young people, the children, the women, and those that need help, the working people. I bring from them all good news for you, because we will be able to restore our economy, We introduced a program for economic recovery in August, which is now re-establishing the foundation for a new economy which will not just depend on oil money, but rather it's a sustainable development growth so that we can have sustainable prosperity. And this is a new kind of social economy. We believe in another world is possible. Our generation has seen a lot. We've seen the coming and the ending of the bipolar world. We've seen the end of the Cold War. And it seems that some people want to bring it back by issuing a tax on China and Russia and Venezuela. But this is a struggle. There is a struggle against Russia and China, but this is really contrary to what should be an international humanistic policy, which sees that we are now in a multipolar world, no longer a bipolar, unipolar world. Venezuela is proposing that we build a multipolar world where there are lots of different centers, where Africa, Latin America, the Caribbean, Asia, Europe, Northern America, where all of us can live together in peace and justice, respecting the culture and the religion and the idiosyncrasies and the identities and the ways of life and the economies and the policies of each other. There is not one single economic model. You cannot impose a single economic model or way of thinking on everyone. You cannot impose a single cultural model or pattern on everybody. You cannot do this. You can't make everybody the same. You have to acknowledge cultural diversity throughout the world. And that is why we advocate the coming of this new world, the world of the non-aligned movement, a world of justice. Justice. And we would like to declare our solidarity with the Arab people of Palestine. Justice must come to Palestine. There must be respect for its historic territory. This was acknowledged in 1967 in the United Nations. And we raise the flag of the Palestinian people along with our own. We support the appeal of the United Nations for an end to the 50-year-long illegal blockade against Cuba. It's time for it to be ended. It's really an anachronism. It dates back to an old age. Now it seems they want to impose such a blockade against other peoples, for example, the Venezuelan peoples. But we call for implementation of United Nations resolutions. There's going to be a resolution coming up for a vote to put an end to the blockade against Cuba. We support it. We believe it must be immediately lifted. We have a world to build. We have a world that we must make. Two 200 years ago, our continent was full of colonies. We lacked justice. 100 years ago, we fought for liberty, for freedom. Today, in the 21st century, the time has come. And certainly, the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, following on the revolutionary ideas of Simon Bolivar and the ideas of Comandante Chavez, and his voice can still be felt here, can still be heard here in this chamber, calling for justice. Justice. He wanted a world where justice prevailed, an end to imperialist practices and threats, an end to coercion and extortion against our peoples. Today, we have can say that we have had 20 years of our revolution. And the most recent years have been the most difficult. There have been attacks against us. And on the 26th of September, 2018, today, I can say we have suffered from economic, media, diplomatic, economic, financial attacks on us. But today, I can tell you that Venezuela is stronger than ever today. We have our own strength. We have developed our strength inside of ourselves throughout our history. And now we are moving ahead to build our own socialist model in the 21st century. This is a new revolution. A revolution for dignity and for justice. We are stronger now than ever before. Just a few days ago, there was a meeting here in tribute to Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela was a person who did talk about rebellion and uprisings. I mean, it wasn't Mandela. We didn't celebrate a Mandela who simply didn't struggle, who didn't do anything. Mandela was a strong, courageous man who took up the challenge, who rebelled. And we feel that we are following on after Nelson Mandela and other great African leaders who fought for justice against slavery and racism and colonialism in all its forms. Tribute was paid here to Nelson Mandela, and we too pay tribute to him. 30 years ago, Mandela was considered a terrorist by the United States government and authorities. And until quite recently, Mandela was on the list of those under sanctions, banned. Does this all sound a little familiar? Nelson Mandela was a terrorist. He was banned. He was persecuted. He was then prosecuted. He was abandoned. And yet, he changed the world. And now, Nelson Mandela is someone that we embrace, that we believe in. He is a symbol of what can be done if you are strong enough to rebel and to struggle for justice. If justice can take root in the hearts and minds of the people. We believe in the future of humankind. I believe in the future of my homeland. I trust our common future, the future of the United Nations. I believe in it. And having survived attempted coup d'etats, attempted terrorist attacks, I still have trust in the human being, in people, and in Venezuela, and in the United Nations. We believe in the noble ideals of the people of Venezuela. Venezuela will never give in. Venezuela will continue fighting for the great causes of this organization for a multipolar world. I wish you all a good night. Thank you very much.
Bye. feeling. I can dig rapping. I'm ready. I can dig scrapping. But I can't dig that backstabbing.
Oh! Thank you.